In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Lady Fatima, pray for us. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good afternoon. Before entering into the topic, I'd just like to introduce the next program that I'll be starting after this. So after this program, we'll be starting the next program in June, and it will take us up to the second week of July. And it's a consecration program to Mary. The first week of June, I have to travel to Nebraska to give a... I'll be there 4 days giving an Ignatian retreat. So that first week, I'm in another state, okay, giving an Ignatian retreat, which is our charism, giving Ignatian retreats. So this new program I gave about 2.5 years ago, and it's the following. I've written out, I've written many, many things, and one of the programs that I wrote, which hasn't been published yet, is a consecration program to Mary through the message of Our Lady Fatima. So that hasn't been published yet. I hope it will be one day. I think it's a winner. So it's different than my other consecration. The other consecration program is by meditating upon the mysteries of the Rosary and the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And some of you have my book published by Sophia Press. So it's a consecration to Mary, but it's different in this sense that this consecration program is designed to involve your whole family. And the reason is because it's a no-brainer that the family is under attack. Everyone knows that. You know, the family is under a brutal attack in the whole world and this country. Most families end up in divorce. If you're not divorced, if you're married, you're not divorced, you're obviously in the minority today. Right? It wasn't that way when I was a child 50 years ago. You very rarely would you have divorces, but today, if you're not divorced and with another person, you're an exception to the rule. I'm not a cynic, I'm just a Thomist realist. That's the way it is. No? So trying to remedy that situation, I wrote this program in the very heart of the pandemic. And I think you'll like it in the sense that you're going to be meditating every day upon the message of Fatima, starting with the 1916 apparitions of the angel. You probably know that the angel appeared three times in 1916 to the three little children. And then you have the formal apparitions, 1917. Then you have the subsequent apparitions to Jacinta and Lucia, even after 1917. So there's the before, during, and after. For me, I love the message of Fatima. Of all the apparitions, I mean, I love Our Lady of Guadalupe, but Fatima is the one that's touched me most in my life, Our Lady Fatima. So I've divided it into various meditations that you're going to be doing on a daily basis. And you'll meditate in this way. Try to find time to give an hour. Then, with your family, you will read this with your family. Probably going to take about 15, 20 minutes to do the reading. And then you're going to be talking to your family about the message. So you're going to be catechizing your children. And tell your kids that they have to do it, okay? They'll resist at first. But once you get into the swing of things, I think it's really going to change your family. You hear me? I think one of the reasons why many families have children that don't obey is because often, you know, you people, you don't obey us. Again, I'm blunt with you, no? I raise the bar very high, but if you follow what I say, I know I'm demanding, I'm the tough priest, right? If you obey what I say, this will get you and your kids into heaven. I promise you. But I raise the bar, okay? This is not Little League baseball. This is the Yankees against the Dodgers, okay? And this is a Major League spirituality. It's not for spiritual wimps, okay? You can't be a wimpito, as they say in Spanish, huh? So, read it with your kids. And I think, even though your kids, maybe as we say in New York, they're deadbeats, this will maybe wake them up. Okay, wake them up to the reality of the fact that, you know, you can go to hell. You have to say that. Okay? I was listening to Father Mike Schmitz yesterday. He's arrived talking about hell. And he says, that's the image that Jesus presents most in all of his teaching. The most common image that Jesus presents is hell. Did you know that? It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he speaks about heaven, but Jesus is constantly speaking about hell. Why? Because he doesn't want us to go there. That's the reason why. He's warning us that all of us could go to hell. It's not fiction, it's reality. And Our Lady Fatima spoke about hell. Okay? That graphic apparition of July 13th, she spoke about hell. So this is the dynamic, and you'll get a handout, a little card will explain the dynamic. There's a lot of things you're going to be doing, a lot of things, but many of these things, it doesn't take that long. So you meditate upon it alone. Then bring your children together, I would say maybe before dinner. Read it. After read it, comment on it. The way you're having sharing groups, say you got two or three kids, share it with your kids. Ask each one, what's the idea you heard? You heard me reading, or maybe get your oldest daughter to read, or maybe have them alternate reading if they're pretty good readers, no? What was the idea that captivated you? St. Paul says we have to cultivate a spiritual fresh way of thinking. Okay? Cultivate a spiritual fresh way of thinking to get rid of the dross and the trash we got upstairs. Okay, so you do your meditation, you read it, then you talk about it. Okay, then hey, pray the rosary. I would do it all together. Pray the rosary. So the reading. In comment, you can comment 5 minutes, you can comment an hour if you like. It's an open book. You invite me, I'll be talking 3 hours. No? I'm one of those non-stop speakers, okay? Especially in Fatima, I love Fatima. I could talk about Fatima and how it's related to John Paul II, and there's so many ramifications of this wonderful message. Okay, then you're going to say the Fatima prayers. Okay? There's Fatima prayers, which you can pray in 3 or 4 minutes. Then sing a hymn in honor of Mary. Immaculate Mary, Hail Holy Queen, the Regina Caeli. So with your kids, okay, The reading and comment, okay, give yourself a half an hour. Rosary, another 15 minutes. The Fatima prayer and the song, you get done in 50 minutes. How many people spend 5 hours on their phone every day? Maybe more, no? So we're asking you with your kids, give the Blessed Mother 50 minutes and she will give you heaven. Yeah. It's as simple as that. And listen, we all have family problems. If you do it well, this will definitely unite your family. No brainer. This will definitely unite your family. So this is a new program that will be starting June 11th through July 9th. And we'll have a massive consecration on July 16th, which will be Sunday. And it happens to be Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Talk about good timing, huh? Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the scapular, okay? And then I'll do another program in Spanish on June the 12th all the way up until the 17th. So I'm always doing it in English and Spanish because the Spanish have a right to my time also, okay? So I try to be fair, okay? So invite as many people as possible. But I really believe if this is done well, this is a winner. Okay, this is a winner. But it's you're getting your whole family involved. What you could do also, if you like, you could do the sharing. Again, reading, rosary, prayer, the sharing at the meal tent. That might even be kill two birds with one stone. So instead of, you know, being a cheese mosas. Okay, talk about what's read. Better that than to roast your mother-in-law. Okay, so talk about that message that you read. Okay. Now, if say for example you're just with your spouse. Okay, do it with your spouse. Or even if you're alone, do it by yourself. Invite your guardian angel to come with you, okay? Kick the devil out, though, okay? Or maybe invite families. Wouldn't that be good if you can invite four or five families and do that? It's a good idea. Is that a good idea? Yeah. Invite families. So I'm trying to do all I possibly can to save the family. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Yeah, got to save the family. Because the family is the domestic church. John Paul II, you've heard of him, right? The way the family goes is where the society goes. Family is the basic building block of society. Any history buffs here? Any history buffs here? The great societies like Greece and Rome, they all fell apart when the family fell apart. That's a proven historical fact. We're heading in that direction. We haven't arrived at that point, but we're obviously heading in that direction. We don't want this society to end up in shambles, which we're heading in that direction, in a pretty fast pace also. Very fast pace. I think that this country has a lot of potentiality if we can all try to become saints. No? And this is a tool to work on our own sanctification. Amen? All right, so that's a long intro, but very important. So you'll get a handout. You'll get a handout out the door as to when we have the program. And then start to invite people so we can pack the church with families. All right, so what I'd like to do today, and this talk would merit 7 hours, okay? But I'll try to be as succinct as possible. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I want to talk about what are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We may have catechists or teachers here. I would consider this about the most difficult thing to do well. Most of you probably don't even know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I would be surprised if any of you could tell me this, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Probably none can, and I'm not insulting, but just that very few people know the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They'll usually give a couple of gifts and they'll throw one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but very few know what the gifts are. But they're very important. Very important. If you want to get to heaven, this is the highway to heaven. So if you want to get to heaven, this is the direct path. It's through the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'll start our conversation today, and then I can give you some bibliographical resources so you can study it on your own, because we have a highly erudite group here this afternoon, right? Thank you, Father. I don't even know what erudite means. Tell us. Highly intelligent group, okay. Scholarly. Brilliant, huh? Okay. I'd like to explode a myth that you hear sometimes, even from priests, even from catechists, even priests get this wrong. I remember talking with a priest about this topic a couple years ago, and I had to gently correct him. He was saying that we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation erroneous. That's wrong. Okay, that's wrong. You don't get the gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. You get them in baptism. That's probably a novelty for almost all of you. Now, confirmation fortifies them. But with baptism, you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we understood the graces that come from baptism, we would baptize our children within 24 hours as the saints were baptized. Read the lives of the saints. Most of them were baptized within 48 hours because they understood the many graces that flow from baptism. Not only does it wash away original sin, you become a daughter or son of God, you become a friend of Jesus Christ, you become an intimate friend with the Holy Spirit, you receive what are called the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, you receive what's called the cardinal virtues of justice, temperance, prudence, and fortitude. And I could go on and on. All this at baptism. So neglecting a baptism of your child without any reason, that could be a mortal sin. Yeah, people, they hold it off. Why? Padre knows Vanity Mitchell Khan. Come on. No tinker than that, old Padre. I have that money. No tinker than that. What's your criteria? The Padre has to have money and wealth. No. Baptize the little kid. So, baptism is the gateway to the church, and it's the means by which we receive all of these, their gifts. They're gratuitous, they're given free. Free of charge. Now, confirmation fortifies them. Okay, I'll give you an analogy. When I was these teenager, your age, I hated Saturdays because my father forced us to do hard manual work when I was a child and a teenager. I thought I could be playing baseball the whole day. But we would have to plant the new lawn. Any of you ever do that? There's a process. You got to rake it out. You got to pull the roots out. Then you have to go to home base and you got to get the lime. That's that white chalky stuff. Okay? And that kills the acid, the acidic part in the ground. Then after that, you got to rake it down again. Then you water it. And then after the water dries, then you have to go to home base and you have to get the seed. You have to plant the seed. Then after you plant the seed, you have to water it. Okay, so the planting of the seed is baptism. The watering is confirmation. Okay, got the analogy? Yeah. So the planting is the baptism. But the watering is the confirmation, which that green grass starts to flourish. Then in New York, in the end of July and August, there's a burnout. That's mortal sin. Okay. So you got the planting, the watering, the burnout, and then the grass is burnt out. Okay, so what's the purpose of planting in the middle of August? It's going to burn out anyway. That was my thought as a kid. No? Okay, so the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are seven. There are seven. And I'm going to name them. Then I'll divide them into two categories. There is a gift. It's called wisdom. Then knowledge. Then understanding. Then counsel. Then fortitude. Then piety. Then fear of the Lord. Got it? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. Three of them perfect the intellect, the other three perfect the will, and one connects the intellect with the will. So one is a bridge that connects the mind with the heart. Would you like to know the division? I'll give it to you free of charge. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding perfect the intellect. Very important, my friends, to cultivate our intellect. If you read Faustina and in the mystics, the Holy Spirit starts to work on your intellect to give you great penetration of the truth, purifying it by the fire of His divine love. It has to be purified of all the junk that we stored up in the past. Then the Holy Spirit starts to burn away all the bad past images, dislodge and to burn away. Then we start to live a more mystical life. So wisdom, knowledge, and understanding perfect your intellect. If you went to my Mass at 12 o'clock, you've got the memory, the understanding, the imagination. Those are the three faculties according to Aristotle and Aquinas. Okay? You got the memory, call to mind the past, the understanding, penetration of the truth. The imagination is the creative capacity of our mind. We can create things. I'm a wordsmith, okay? I'm a writer, okay? So I create articles and blogs and books by the literary imagination that God has given to me. Counsel connects the mind to the heart. And then fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord perfect our heart. So for us to become saints, we have to have the perfection of our mind and our heart. There has to be that perfection of your mind and your heart. So, what I'd like to do is this. I gave a talk in Alhambra on Thursday, and I spent most of my time explaining one of those gifts. And I explain the most important, the greatest of the gifts is the gift of wisdom. And St. Thomas Aquinas says, wisdom perfects charity. That's very important. Charity is the greatest gift. The greatest virtue, I should say. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit work much more quickly than the theological virtues. The theological virtues, they plod along. The gifts are like lightning bolts. And as Aquinas says, we have certain temptations that if we do not have the work in the Holy Spirit, we will fall into mortal sin. Yeah. That's Aquinas now. Some temptations are so impetuous and overpowering that the gifts have to come in, zoom, to help us out. Faith, hope, and charity, they work slower. So these gifts, these gifts perfect the other virtues. So there's an interplay between the gifts and the theological virtues. So my fourth year in theology, I studied this topic, so finally I'm able to use what I studied in my fourth year of theology, you know, the mystical life, you know, spiritual theology. So, I spoke about wisdom on Thursday, but I'd like to talk about the fourth gift today. I'd like to talk about counsel. All right, we ready? Okay, the gift of counsel. It's that gift that connects the mind and the heart. It's a bridge. You like your neck that connects your head with the rest of your body. Okay, it's a bridge. So what it did in preparing this, this is going to be very Ignatian. I'm going to connect this with the whole dynamic of the spiritual exercise. I think that after this is done, you're really going to appreciate it, and maybe someone will volunteer to write a book on this topic. Okay, so wisdom perfects charity. Counsel perfects the moral virtue of prudence. Okay? The moral virtue of prudence. Definition, prudence. The art of decision making. It's right decision in action, as Aquinas points out. The art of decision making. It's right decision in action. It's got the feet. So you got the decision, but it gives feet to the thought process. All right. That being said, so it's going to be perfecting prudence. Now, when we use the word prudence in American English, it has nothing to do with the moral virtue of prudence. Nothing to do with it. Have any of you ever heard the word prudence in American English?
Yes.
Okay, when you hear prudence, what it means in American English, be careful, right? Has nothing to do with that in as a moral virtue. Nothing to do with it. Got to be prudent, got to be careful. You have to be circumspect. You know? Careful. So, it's very important, as Aquinas says, when you're talking about something, make sure you define the terminology before you actually talk about it. Especially possibly for some of you, maybe English is not your first language. It's important that you have a mastery on the basic concepts before you start to talk about it, which I almost always do. I'll try to define something before I explain it. All right. Aquinas, who uses a lot of Aristotle in his writings, says to make a prudential act which is perfected by counsel. So to make a prudential act perfected by counsel, there are three steps. If I can use the Thomistic language and translate it in English, okay? Are you listening? Okay, deliberation, decision, imperation of the will. Okay. What's that, Father Broom? Okay. Okay. So, deliberation, decision, imperation of the will. Explanation. Okay. You know what it means to deliberate? Deliberate, but means very deep thinking. And the more important the decision you have to make, the more time you have to deliberate. Okay, whether or not you're going to put a banana on your cornflakes, you're not going to spend a fortnight thinking about that. Who cares about the banana? Put peanut butter in if you want, okay? So that's not a life-determining decision, the banana or the peanut butter, okay? But who you're going to marry, or whether you're going to become a priest or you're going to get married and have 10 kids, huge. Whether or not you're going to be living here or move to Anchorage, no? That's Alaska. That's a huge decision. So the more important the decision, the more time you're going to expend in making that decision. So deliberation means you think it through seriously. Like the Blessed Virgin, she pondered, to ruminate, to think seriously. So deliberation. Okay, decision, you know what that is. You got to decide. You have to come to a conclusion. You can't be a perpetual procrastinator. You can't do that. As they say in Spanish, la filosofía de la mañana. La filosofía de la mañana. Hablé española. No, I'll do it tomorrow. No. It's got to be done now. Do it as they say in Mexican Spanish, ahorita. Right now. Ahorita. Right now. So, deliberation, decision, okay, imperation of the will, it means, you know, you carry it out. As young people have the t-shirts, just do it, right? Just do it. So, I'm connecting counsel with prudence, okay? So, Counsel perfects the moral virtue of prudence. See, they're all connected. That's why wisdom perfects the theological virtue of charity. That's why wisdom is most important, because charity is the greatest of all virtues. As St. John the Cross says, in the twilight of our life we'll be judged on love. Right? Francis Sales says, the measure by which we should love God is to love Him without measure. Amen? The measure which we should love God, love Him without measure. I love Francis Sales. Great writer, isn't he? Okay. Now, let's move from there into the dynamics of Ignatius. I was able to write this out this morning. I think it fell into place. Okay, let's say, You have to help your two daughters. Where are they going to go to college? That's huge. You underestimate it, but man. I tell the parents, come and talk with me before. I was born here, and I'm college graduate. I mean, many years ago, but I know the dynamics. And the Broome family, we have three pillars: God, family, and education. Perhaps your family is that way. No, God, family, then education. That's the pyramid of the Broome family. No? That's why my father built a school and my baby brother, they built a school. They built a Catholic school. If we don't believe that school is important, they're not going to be spending millions of bucks to put together a school, are they? No. We are what we think. My dad would always say, the thought is the father of the deed. You ever hear that one? The thought is the father of the deed. Never hear that one? You know, what you do is conceive first in your intellect, then you carry it out. The thought is the father of the deed. Memorize that, baby, huh? So, okay, you're deciding on a college or you're deciding on a future husband, okay? Huge! Those are probably the two most important decisions in their life, your future education, profession, and your vocation. I know you people, but me deciding to become a priest and an oblate was huge, and it took a long time. Married life is beautiful. I come from a very good family. I could have chosen that because I came from a very good family. One of the best, I think. So I could have gone that direction, but, well, no. God calls me to be a spiritual father. Okay, that's what God wants. And where do I go? Should I be a Salesian? Should I be an Opus Dei? Should I be a Jesuit? Should I be a diocesan priest? That wasn't easy. It took a long time, spiritual direction and prayer and many rosaries and fasting to arrive at where I am now. And I think I made the right decision being an oblate of the Virgin Mary. I hope I did, no? But what had to happen is what I'm explaining to you right now. I didn't know the dynamics when I was 18, but basically I did follow it because of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to give you Ignatius now. How many of you have done the exercises? Almost all of you. Okay, to make this decision, you have to arrive at what's called holy indifference. You've heard of that, right? Okay. You arrive at holy indifference. Remember that is. Not to prefer a long life to a short life, health over sickness, riches over poverty, honors over humiliations. Remember that? That's the last part of PNF, Principle and Foundation. You have to arrive at that. Which means that you're not attached to persons, places, or things. You're not being led by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Okay, you're not led by the flesh, but by the Spirit, as Paul points out. All right. Now, you arrive at that in the Ignatian dynamic, and given that a 10-week course, I only have an hour and 10 minutes to speak, I'm always floundering to try to get enough information in 70 minutes. Okay, you've done the exercise. I pack into those 70 minutes a lot. Right? A lot. Okay. You have to do the two standards well. What is the two standard? Be aware of the spirit, the good spirit and the bad spirit working on you. Then you do what is called the three classes of men. You want to fortify your will. So your will is directed at doing God's will and not your own will. Then the three grades of humility. Okay, you don't want to sin. Get sin out of your life. Mortal, venial, and even a willingness to undergo humiliations if God allows that for us. You hear me?
Yes, Father.
So if you do that well, two standards, three classes of men, three grades of humility, connected with PNF, Principle and Foundation. If you've done that well, you've arrived at holy indifference, now you can make the decision. Okay, it can be done in the 10-week course. Better to do a month retreat. Okay? I was making my month retreat I think it was 1980, right before entering into the novitiate. I made it in Canada. I made it in French. Okay. So my speaking French was very bad, but I understand French. No? During the retreat master, a holy Jesuit priest, Engelbert Lacasse, knocked on my door. And he was, I think he was jumping up and down. He said, the two young men on your right and your left, they've done the two stand, three class of men, they have decided to become oblate priests. Yeah. So as a result of that, two young men became oblate priests because of doing the dynamic well. That's huge. And the exercise, the most important part of the exercise is this discernment of state of life. My program, it's an adaptation, and I can't go too deeply in that, but I tell you the basics of that. And if you make an 8-day retreat with me, which we're going to have in July, you can go deeper into that reality. And then if you want, you can go to fly to Boston and make a 3-day retreat with Father Craig and the company there, okay? Okay, so you've arrived at holy indifference. Now, Ignatius says you should reflect upon three different scenarios, three different scenes. But now you have holy indifference now. Before the decision, you meet someone on the street, motivated by love and charity. What advice would you give that person? That's the first. The second would be, what decision would you like to have met? I'm sorry. What decision would you like to have made when you are on your deathbed? Okay. You're on your deathbed. Your last step. What decision would you like to have made? You've already died and you're before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Okay, let me summarize it in the clearest way possible. Your decision. How can you give the greatest honor and glory of God in your life? I'm going back to PNF. How can you give God the greatest honor and glory in your life? How can you do that? How can you become a great saint? And third, how can you, praising God, arriving at great holiness, how can you bring as many souls to heaven as possible? There you have it. For me, in my 20s, no brainer, I got to be a priest. For me, no brainer. God bless the married life, no? But no, be a priest. Did you know, Fulton Sheen says this, do you know the three rings of the married life? It's the three rings for the married life. How many are married here? Okay, three rings. It's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering. Huh? True, right? Engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering. Okay, right here. Not when you can't translate into Spanish, can you? Huh? Captain of Siena once, Lord, give me the most painful crown of thorns. And Jesus said, no, I've left that for the married people. All right. So there you have the triple dynamic. I'm making that decision. You meet someone on the street that you want to help that person get to heaven. What advice would you give him? Second is, okay, right now you're on your deathbed. Okay, what would you like to have chosen? You're on your deathbed. And the third is, you're already dead and you're before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. What choice would you like to have met? I mean, this is... Ignatius is great, isn't he? And very demanding. Almost scary, no? But if this is done well, we're going to become saints. See, the Father Broome is tough. Yeah, I am tough. So Ignatius is tougher than I am, no? It's demanding, isn't it? It's demanding, but you know, if you live this spiritual life, you're going to become a saint. Not simply head knowledge. That's why prudence is going, it's right decision and action. It's going from the head to the feet. This is not pie in the sky spirituality, but it's practical spirituality that we want to drive into action in our lives. Okay. Understood so far?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to arrive at another dimension of Saint Ignatius of Loyola once again. And how can I know I make the right decision? How can I know? Okay, I'm going to give you another 3 points. But before giving you these 3 points, Ignatius would insist very strongly on having a spiritual director. Okay? Having a spiritual director. And people that come to me trying to make a very important decision, I will go through these 3 points now. I'll go through these points, and in the background I'll say, are you going to be glorifying God? Are you going to be sanctifying yourself? Are you going to be a source of sanctification of others? This is the principle and foundation. See, my friends, the beauty of the Ignatian dynamic is that you know the exercise of, well, you're always being motivated by principle and foundation. You're always being motivated by that, no? One pope said that if the world would meditate upon PNF, the whole world would be saved. The whole world meditating Prince Montfaith, the whole world would be saved. Did any of you go to the 12 o'clock Mass? I talked about heaven. That's Ignatius. All my preaching is basically influenced by Ignatius. But I talked about heaven, right? Isn't that part of the exercises? Death, judgment, heaven, hell. Then I talked about eternity, right? Eternity means forever and ever and ever. Never ends. Okay, so you have to make this decision. Ignatius gives us these three different dynamics. Or three different modes would be his word. Okay, the first would be, if you're taking notes, it's called clarity beyond doubt. Okay, I'll give you the three, then I'll explain them. Clarity beyond doubt. Okay, then the second would be the contrast of the interior movements of your heart, which is called the movements of consolation and desolation. Very important. We talked about that in the exercises. The different movements within the heart of the interplay of consolation and desolation. Now I'm looking back. When I was a teenager, for some reason, thinking about going to a party as a teenager, I almost puked. I'd almost throw up. And I'm aware because I think if I were to have gone, I would have gotten in trouble. I believe it. I would have gotten in trouble. With drinking and drugs and wild women, I would have gotten in trouble. So God purposely placed a repugnance to parties when I was a teenager. And I'm only aware now how good God is, that God protected me. I would have fallen off the cliff. I'd probably be a chola underneath the George Washington Bridge, you know? A skinhead, kind of like Robert, huh? No? It probably would have happened. Probably be dead and buried, you know? Under the Tappan Zee Bridge, huh? That was the work of God. So it's clarity beyond doubt, the interplay of desolation, consolation, and then the third would be preponderance of ideas. I know it's pretty heady language, so I'll try to break it down into common English, okay? Okay, so clarity beyond doubt, it doesn't always work that way, but I'll give you a couple examples. One of the best examples I have is from the gospel. Okay, some of you have maybe seen the movie, the episode of The Chosen, okay, with Jonathan Rumi. I personally got a lot out of that. I really felt that filled in a lot of the gaps in the contemplative mode of The Exorcist, Chosen by Jonathan Rumi. Do you remember? Okay, he approaches Matthew one day. He's at his custom post, and he looks at Matthew and he says, "Follow me." What does Matthew do? Okay, he was being disposed, but that day. Jesus says, "Follow me," and Matthew burns his bridges. He gets up, he leaves everything, then he goes to his home that night, has a big party with Jesus, and he brings every Tom, Dick, and Harry, the prostitutes, the the druggies, or the drunks, so that they come to see Jesus, and they'll be converted. That was his idea. So Matthew had... That was an experience called clarity beyond doubt. Got it? Another one would be Saul on the road to Damascus, where Jesus comes to him and he knocks him off his horse and he blinds him. So here you have a man that's killing Christians. Stephen was killed because of the instrumentality of Saul of Tarsus. There he is heading to Damascus, what, to arrest more Christians, throw them in jail, and put them to death. And then Jesus comes and he knocks him off his horse. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." He gets up, he's totally blind, he's led into the city of Damascus. He's there for 3 days. Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision. Ananias goes there, places his hands on Paul. The scales fall from his eyes. Paul, Saul, now Paul is baptized. Then he goes out and he starts to preach Christ. It happened just like that. Now, God doesn't always work that way. But God can knock us off the horse. God can knock us off the horse on our fanny, excuse my New York English, like that if he wants to. And sometimes God has to do that with certain people. Fulton Sheen says, "Broken things are sacred." Paul was saved in a broken book there and he ends up in Malta, right? Jesus had to break bread, and Fulton Sheen says, sometimes God has to break into hearts. Maybe some of your children. Sometimes God, look at me, he's got to break into hearts to save them. Broken things can be sacred. And maybe we're here because God knocked us off our horse. God had to knock us off our horse. He had to humble us. Maybe that's the reason why we're here today. Thanks be to God. So God can utilize this clarity beyond doubt in many ways, sometimes through suffering. Sometimes through the cross. And if you look in retrospect, how good God is, how wise God is, how intelligent God is. If you look in retrospect, you rewind a film of your life, you fall in love with God. Because you see, He doesn't always work with us like a straight arrow, but you know what a labyrinth is? Labyrinth. He meanders. Okay? So He goes around in certain ways. He knows who we are, and He knows the best way to work with us. How good God is. I look back in my life, the most painful suffering I experienced was when I was the age of these two girls. I mean, I had to suffer 3 years, exceedingly painful trial. And I was making novenas to St. Jude, and God didn't take the cross away for 2 long years. But if that didn't happen, he wouldn't be a priest now. I can see how God looks, how God works with us. So if you rewind the film of your life, you're going to see how God allowed you to suffer to bring greater good out of it. And that's probably why you're here today. Okay, so there you have clarity beyond doubt. Then you have consolation and desolation. So the interplay of consolation and desolation. God, for example, God sent me going to a party as a teenager. I almost puked just to think about it. Whereas all the young people wanted to go to that, no? For me, it was almost repugnant, repulsive. No? There was no rhyme and reason. It's just that. I think one occasion my parents kind of forced me to go on and I bolted. No? That was desolation. I didn't know what it was when I was 15, but now I understand very clearly how God was working. So desolation and consolation. That's why it's important to have a good spiritual director. So the directors that we have here, Mary and Eric and some of you, Annette, spiritual directors, they're all trained in spiritual direction. And I imagine when they're directing people, now and then the topic of desolation, consolation surfaces. I hope you talk about that. You probably do, I imagine, right? That's part of the Ignatian dynamic. So go through your day and make an examine of your day to see when you were in consolation and when you're in desolation. Get to know the movements of your heart. You gotta get to know the movements of your heart. Very important. Because of the fast-paced society in which we do, very few people are aware of those inner motions because we're bombarded by noise. And we're moving a mile a minute. We don't have enough time to reflect. That's the genius of my exercise program because I have to get you to stop and think an hour a day for 10 weeks. Turn off the music, the radio, stop and think and be alone with God. And then once you do it, you fall in love with that, right? Fall in love with it. Okay, then the third point is it's called preponderance of ideas. What the heck is that, Father Broom? Preponderance of ideas, you get two pieces of blank paper and you put the pros and cons of that, okay? You put the pros and the cons. The pros and the cons. Okay, with respect to, say, for example, vocation, pros and cons of the married life, pros and cons of religious life. Then you look at it. So you get a sheet of paper, two blank sheets of paper, you put the plus, pro, and the minus, con, and write down 1 to 10, and then you start to write down, you're praying over this to the Holy Spirit, you're praying for the gift of, you're praying for the gift of counsel, okay? You're praying for it, and then you're applying the virtue of prudence, the art of decision making, huh? Writing them down. Then you go to the negatives, write them down. And you go from married life to religious life, and you do the same thing. Then you try to see where the scale is tilting to the pros and cons. Now, even though it could be you got 10 in favor, 10 against, One of those numbers could be worth 10 because it's so important. Then after doing that, you bring that to your spiritual director. And you read through it. If that's done, my friends, I think you get a 99% possibility you're making the right decision. And we live in an imperfect world. Even with this, you can make a mistake. But probably about 99%. And you've got sons or daughters that maybe are going to get married with it. I think you should talk to them about this. Are you following me? It's not too complicated. We have three different ideas, but I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. All of the purpose, well, we want to get them to heaven, right? We don't want them to lose their soul. How many people, with respect to the married life, they marry the wrong person in the wrong place in the wrong time, and that's tantamount to disaster? I say most. How many young women have choose a boy with the B's, brains, beauty, and big bucks, huh? The brains, a Harvard guy, beauty, attractive, big bucks, Billy, huh? Got a big wallet, huh? You'd be surprised how many people have that as their criteria: intelligence, money, and good looks. I say most people have that as a criteria. Whereas the guy's spiritually bankrupt, okay? Spiritually bankrupt. Because he had those human qualities, huh? So, as a summary of this, look at the Ignatian dynamic. And this just occurred to me in time as I pray. The three different modes, Ignatius has shown the three different dimensions of the human person. Clarity beyond doubt is the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. We're getting ready for Pentecost now, right? Clarity beyond doubt is the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can intervene like a lightning bolt, like Paul, right? Like Matthew, like a lightning bolt. Literally, with St. Paul it was, right? All right, so a direct intervention from God. Second is consolation and desolation. That is our feelings, our emotions. Hey, that's important too. Our feelings and our emotion. Then what about the preponderance of ideas? It's the intellect. Like that? So you've got the direct intervention from the Holy Spirit. Second, you've got the interplay of the movements of the emotions, consolation, desolation. And then you have the use of the intellect. Now, let me add some finishing touches to this. It might be that you have a combination of two of them. It could be consolation and desolation related to the preponderance of ideas. So it's not always cut and dry the way I've explained it now. It can be an intermingling, an interplay of those three different points. So, what do you think about this talk? Important? And this is especially important for parents and your kids. We have a lot of parents that have kids here. Some are our children, teenagers. Some have our young adults. If you can apply this in the formation of your children, it's a winner. So you might even go back and listen to the talk again, maybe take some notes, and try to apply it. So this is all related to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I decided just to spend 1 hour just on one of the gifts. As I did with wisdom, I spent an hour talking about wisdom. Each one would merit an hour talk. No? And you've probably never heard a talk on the gifts of the Holy Spirit as I'm giving it to you now. But your sanctification, your salvation, your conversion depends upon the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's turn to Mary, who's known as Our Lady of Good Counsel, right? Seat of Wisdom, right? Let's ask Our Lady of Good Counsel that we would be open to this divine influx of the Holy Spirit. And so next Sunday we'll have our last class. And then sign up. Already, well, you get ready for the next course, which will be our consecration program. You going to come?
Yes.
Good. Invite others. Maybe get some of these flyers and invite other people so we can pack the church and try to save our families. Amen? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among them. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.